"Let's get Mr. Grote out of here, okay?" he said, easing his way through the door with the old man in his arms, "and then I'll come back for Tid—" A burning beam dropped onto the floor halfway across the hall and sent sparks and burning envelopes spiralling upwards into the main blaze. It roared, a wall of flame, a fiery waterfall in reverse, up through the other floors and out through the roof. It thundered. It was fire let loose and making the most of it. Part of Moist von Lipwig was happy to let it happen, but a new and troublesome part was thinking, I was making it work. It was all moving forward. The stamps were really working. It was as good as being a criminal without the crime. It had been fun. Come on, Stanley, Moist snapped, turning away from the horrible sight and the fascinating thought. The boy followed reluctantly, calling for the damn cat all the way to the door. The air outside struck like a knife, but there was a round of applause from the crowd and then a flash of light that Moist had come to associate with eventual trouble.
"Good evening, Mr. Lipwig," said the cheery voice of Otto Shriek. "My word, if we want news, all we have to do is follow you."
Moist ignored him and shouldered his way to Miss Dearheart, who, he noticed, was not beside herself with worry. "Is there a hospice in this city?" he said. "A decent doctor, even?"
"There's the Lady Sybil Free Hospital," said Miss Dearheart.
"Is it any good?"
"Some people don't die."
"That good, eh? Get in there right now. I've got to go back in for the cat."
"You are going to go back in there for a cat?"
"It's Mr. Tiddles," said Stanley primly. "He was born in the post office."
"Best not to argue," said Moist, turning to go. "See to Mr. Grote, will you?" Miss Dearheart looked down at the old man's blood-stained shirt.
"But it looks as though some creature tried to—" she began.
"Something fell on him," said Moist shortly.
"That couldn't cause—"
"Something fell on him," said Moist. "That's what happened." She looked at his face.
"All right," she agreed.
"Something fell on him.
Something with big claws?"
"No, a joist with lots of nails in it, something like that. Anyone can see that."
"That's what happened, was it?" said Miss Dearheart.
No point in getting the watch involved in this, he thought, hurrying towards the doors. They'll clump around and there won't be any answers for them, and in my experience, watchmen always like to arrest somebody.
"What makes you think it was Reacher Guilt, Mr. Lipwig, wasn't it?
Oh, you could tell, could you? That's a skill of yours, is it? Funny thing, we can tell sometimes, too. You've got a very familiar face, Mr. Lipwig. Where are you from?"
No, there was no point in getting friendly with the watch. They might get in the way.
An upper window exploded outwards, and flames licked along the edge of the roof. Moist ducked into the doorway as glass rained down. As for Tiddles, well, he had to find the damn cat. If he didn't, it wouldn't be fun anymore. If he didn't risk at least a tiny bit of life and the smidgen of limb, he just wouldn't be able to carry on being him. Had he just thought that? Oh, gods, he'd lost it. He'd never really been sure how he'd got it, but it had gone. That's what happened if you took wages. And hadn't his grandfather warned him to keep away from women as neurotic as a shaved monkey? Actually, he hadn't. His interest lying mainly with dogs and beer, but he should have done. The vision of Mr. Grote's chest kept bumping insistently against his imagination. It looked as though something with claws had taken a swipe at him, and only the thick uniform coat prevented him from being opened like a clam. But that didn't sound like a vampire. They weren't messy like that. It was a waste of good food. Nevertheless, he picked up a piece of smashed chair. It had splintered nicely. And the good thing about a stake through the heart was that it also worked on non-vampires. More ceiling had come down in the hall, but he was able to dodge between the debris. The main staircase was at this end and completely untouched, although smoke lay on the floor like a carpet. At the other end of the hall, where the mountains of old mail had been, the blaze still roared. He couldn't hear the letters any more. Sorry, he thought. I did my best. It wasn't my fault. What now? At least he could get his box out of his office. He didn't want that to burn. Some of those chemicals would be quite hard to replace. The office was full of smoke, but he dragged the box out from under his desk and then spotted the golden suit on its hanger. He had to take it, didn't he? Something like that couldn't be allowed to burn. He could come back for the box, right? But the suit... the suit was necessary. There was no sign of Tiddles. He must have got out, yes? Didn't cats leave sinking ships? Or was it rats? Wouldn't the cats follow the rats? Anyway, smoke was coming up between the floorboards and drifting down from the upper floors, and this wasn't time to hang around. He'd looked everywhere sensible. There was no sense in being where a ton of burning paper could drop on your head. It was a good plan, and it was only spoiled when he spotted the cat down in the hall. It was watching him with interest.
"Tiddles!" bellowed Moist.
He wished he hadn't. It was such a stupid name to shout in a burning building. The cat looked at him and trotted away. Cursing, Moist hurried after it and saw it disappear down into the cellars. Cats were bright, weren't they?